Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I know we're going to talk about some coaching things, but let's get into the championship games first because I feel like the Harbaugh saga, finally over, has taken over the last couple shows. And then we have some other coaching moves, but let's get right into the games themselves. So right now, we have the Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl against the 49ers. They met a couple years ago. I don't even remember how long it was ago, with the Chiefs pulling out the win. And really, watching the games, it didn't really feel like the better team ended up winning, at least the way the games kind of went. The Chiefs took some really lucky breaks, and I don't want to say that I kind of had the feeling, because I knew, even though I didn't want the Chiefs and the 49ers to win, I had a bad feeling that they were going to pull it out. And it's kind of like the same crazy, I don't want to say that it's Lamar Jackson, because a lot of people are throwing him under the bus as like a choker. And I really don't know if that's true, because people were saying, oh, it's the same thing with Peyton Manning. But no one's hyping him up as the best ever during the season. Everyone knows that Mahomes is the best quarterback right now. It's just the fact that everyone's saying he's the greatest of all time when we don't know that yet. And he seems like he's playing well. But some of these coaches and decisions against him, like, they very easily could have lost to Buffalo. They very easily could have lost to the Ravens. I think the big game changer was the fumble. People are overlooking the fumble going into the end zone that was punched out, that would have basically tied the game. I think they lost by a touchdown anyway. If that touchdown is scored, the Ravens win the game. Because the next drive down is when Lamar threw the triple coverage interception, which would have been another, I don't think he would have forced that if the first drive was a touchdown. And I think if they would have scored on that drive, whether it's just getting a field goal because he doesn't force that throw, because he had a guy open underneath, and it was kind of like the Josh Allen. I don't know what it is, but why are teams thinking that they have to force these touchdown throws against the Chiefs when you don't have to do that? It's almost crazy. Like, the moment's too big for them, and credit to the Chiefs. Maybe it's kind of been there, done that. But they have the moxie where it's like, we shouldn't be winning, but we're really going to win the game. And I think that annoys people, right? Tom Brady had it. How many games were like Tom Brady sneaking it out? And people would say, like, he's not even good. What is he doing? Like, the Chiefs, this seems like it's the end of their window, right? At least for the current team. I'm not saying Mahomes isn't going to have a better chance, but they've been on a decline since a couple years ago. And if, like I honestly said, it feels like they shouldn't have won or made it to the Super Bowl this year. Although, credit to Kelce. I know you wanted to talk about Taylor Swift a few weeks ago, at this point.
Wow. And look at you. You're the one that's constantly bringing her up.
I'm bringing it up as a segue for you, because your boy, he's been playing out of his mind. I was joking that I would laugh every time he would drop a pass. I don't think he dropped one this last week. He was making diving catches on poor Mahomes throws that was bailing him out. And I think Mahomes even joked that Kelce ran the wrong route the one play, but he still made the catch. And I was like, you're scrambling all around. What the hell? What, you have a 5-minute route for him to run? You're like, you're going to run up, do like a left, do a loop-de-loop, come back, like kind of curl out into a wheel. Like, they don't have a route like that. So I'm sure it was just a joke of him throwing him under the bus like that. But the entire game, he stepped up big when people were just ripping him to shreds about Swift being there and them being in a booth. And she's like in a booth that kept showing her. And I don't get it, to be honest. I don't care either way. I was hoping that if they lost like to Buffalo, wonder what like the media would be kind of focused on. Now, just let it go. Go wild. Have her there at the Super Bowl. Because she has to be there, right? She's not going to break up with him. They have a 2-week break, though, before the game. The game's not next Sunday, so anything could happen.
No. They got to at least wait till they're... It'll be like Tom Brady. They'll wait till he's done playing, and then when he's actually hanging out around the house, be like, get the hell out of here. We're done.
But Tom Brady's at the beach with the boys. Haven't you seen those photos? He's always at the beach. He's not home. He's living his best life. Kelsey.
Yeah, his wife was like, you need to stay home. He's like, maybe I'll come back. I'm going to come out of retirement.
See, maybe Kelsey, that's what he will do. Because they're both like, she's touring. Musicians never really stop touring until they're like super old. Or unless they kind of just like give up, like Metallica for a while. They're like, let's be dads and not do anything. So they could go that route, right? If they get married. People are presuming that if he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to propose. Would that be the best Super Bowl moment of all time, Matt?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of Super Bowl moments that might be better.
Well, the only reason I brought it up is because they had like a segment on like... been watching a bunch of Michigan highlights, you know, just to stay in the mood of good football after watching some of these guys make horrendous plays in their games. But a lot of the bowl game, like recaps, they're like, we're going to recap the greatest of the BCS era / playoff era as they go into this new expanded playoff. And almost every recap includes a highlight of that dude proposing to his girlfriend, which isn't a highlight of the game at all. Right? He scores a touchdown. They could just cut the highlight right there. Why include the proposal? But now we have a chance of the NFL having their version of that. So I ask you seriously, do you think this is a setup?
I mean...
do you think they're really dating or this is just for publicity?
I don't know. I would say that they likely are dating. I mean... you can't deny that with, I just saw a stat that was said, like, because of all of the nonstop Swift things with the Chiefs, that the NFL is generating, like, something ungodly, like $300 million worth of new revenue because of, like, Taylor Swift fans recognizing that football is a sport and they can watch it.
And they're making custom jackets out of jerseys.
Jackets, jerseys.
But the one thing that's crazy to me is now you're getting into conspiracy type territory because I brought up the stats where the guys that followed the NFL ref crews, they were alarmed at the crew that they gave to that game, saying that they called a lot of judgmental penalties on the home team. And that's exactly what happened, Matt, because I sent you the stats so that I could bring it up on the show. So let me bring them up so I get them correct. But I do know that during that game, the Ravens were only penalized 3 times for 30 yards. I think they were 2 holdings were back to back, which an easy way, and this could be a conspiracy, like I said, an easy way to swing the penalty count is to call back-to-back holdings to kill a drive or back-to-back false starts or something, knowing that, all right, well, they can just punt this drive, but it kind of evened the penalties up. The Ravens, on the other hand, got called for 8 penalties for 95 yards, which is a big difference because a lot of the Ravens ones were personal fouls or like unnecessary roughness and their judgment calls. So they could go either way. And a lot of people were saying the Ravens got out of control. But to me, the thing that stood out is even the announcers noticed it where there were a couple plays where I think one was Beckham. He ran like a corner, got pulled down when he jumped up for the pass to hit him in the hands. And they were like, he got there early. That should have been a pass interference, which would have been a big yardage swing. They didn't call it. I don't think they should have called the triple coverage interception. People were saying that he hit him too early. To me, don't bail them out. I've been saying that the entire time. I said that during the Michigan National Championship game where they called that pass interference on a ball that was underthrown by 10 yards. Why bail the quarterback out on a piss poor throw? So you know there's triple coverage there. The official can easily see it. He's not going to call, and he shouldn't call pass interference on that. So Ravens fans, awful decision. Don't force the throw. The other one, though, clearly pass interference. And then there was another roughing one where they were like, oh, I should have called it. And then the one of the ones on Mahomes, like the guy put his head down is what they said. Oh, if he didn't put his head down when he was tackling him, like he wouldn't have got the penalty. But I was like, it wasn't helmet to helmet, though. And he didn't spear him. He just put his face mask down. Like, who cares if he has his head up, like exposing his neck to him as he's taking him down. So I thought the way when they started calling him, I was laughing because I had done I read the research before the show last week. And every time they threw a penalty on the Ravens, it was judgment penalty. And every time they could have thrown one on the Chiefs to just even it out. Because I'm not saying that they need to even it out as like some type of weird sick game. But when every judgment penalty goes to the away team, that's a red flag to me. And in a game that came down to one fumbled touchdown on the yard line going in, the Ravens 100% would have had a touchdown there. Even if he just went down instead of stretching the ball out, I'm sure that's haunting him. I think that was Zay Flowers, maybe. Is that who it was? So that has to haunt him that he fumbled that ball and then never got another chance to score and make up for it. But hey, but say what you will.
I want to backtrack for just a minute because you mentioned about like kind of the falling apart of the Ravens. And I almost feel like there is a fair comparison between those dynasty New England teams and what the Chiefs are going through right now. Because Mahomes is able to put his team on his back and drive down the field when he needs to get them into position to win games, similar to Tom Brady. And they've had the Super Bowl success that I almost think when teams are playing them, they get antsy trying to go for the big plays because they're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to get this shot again. I need to take advantage of this. And it almost plays into that, those teams' hands, because at that point it just becomes like they make a mistake, they turn the ball over. And that's the key to beating those types of teams is you can't turn the ball over and you have to take advantage of your opportunities. And I think when you do that, when you're scoring points or you're taking advantage of scoring opportunities, you put more pressure on that allows you to capitalize when they make a mistake. You know, if they force a ball into coverage or something along those lines.
And I don't want to give my full thoughts on it because I want to circle it back around to the Jim Harbaugh coaching change. Because I think it's a mentality that both Harbaugh brothers have where they kind of just turtle up. And if you go back to the national championship game, Michigan could have buried Washington. But for whatever reason, in the middle of that game, they just went back to, all right, we're going to go back to just doing our old offense and just kept hammering up the middle. And they did nothing for like the entire second and third quarter, when it's like, well, you knew it was working. What did you do? And I feel like John did the same thing where it was like, hey, the Chiefs have a bad rush defense. Let's only run the ball like 5 times for no reason. It wasn't like they were behind. And even the one where it was like 4th and short on his own yard line, he went heavy and Lamar Jackson almost broke it. And I was thinking, go hurry up with the same heavy set and have Lamar line up just like that 3 more times in a row. Like, what would the Chiefs have done? Their guys would have been completely gassed. The Ravens would have easily had a touchdown. I think that ended up, maybe that was the same drive that they did the fumble. Like, that gave them new life, and they were like, you know what? We got to quit running it. And I think some of it, they're overthinking it. They're like, we're in the playoffs. We have to have him throw like Mahomes. But I mean, Mahomes is trying to get the ball to the running back a good bit of time. A lot of the time, like a lot of the stuff that the Chiefs did, didn't look good. And Kelce bailed them out like five times with crazy catches. If he's not there, the Chiefs lose easy. And he's getting old. And he hasn't looked himself the entire season. They just got lucky that he played out of his mind in that game. And I think he knows that the spotlight's on him because of the off the field stuff where he's like, I gotta play big. Because if he would have lost that game, the Chiefs fans would have torn him apart. So I'm kind of curious to see how he plays in the Super Bowl. If you're betting on MVP, maybe it's going to be Kelce, dude. He has to. Too much pressure on him. And he looks like he's doing okay with the pressure. Maybe he likes it. There was that one play where Mahomes, I thought, was going to break his leg. Did you see that twisting play? And they said
that's because he conditions for it.
Yeah, he trains for it. And I thought, every man should do that then, right? People get hurt getting out of bed. Why can't you just twist your body around to make sure you don't get hurt when you get twisted up like that? He has time to do commercials and do that and study film. He has time to do anything. He's the most valuable bundler. He wears that t-shirt in that one commercial. Because if you bundle it, Matt, you can do everything together. Maybe that's his secret.
Maybe that's the secret.
He's watching film and he's bundling his stretching workouts in there. That's what you need to do with your film. You need to do some yoga while you're breaking down game film. Be more efficient if you bundle it. Right there. I'm not saying the insurance name because I am not running ads here. Anything else you want to talk about in that game before I go to the Lions game? That's part of our recap.
Let's hit the other chokers.
The Lions game was even more ridiculous because they were killing him. That was a murder. And they were like, we're just going to kill the momentum by going forward on fourth down. And it didn't even hurt them. Because, and I keep hearing about the ending where they're like, he made the fourth downs didn't matter because it came down to him calling a run play. The run play wouldn't even have mattered either at the end if they had called two plays in the huddle and they didn't call timeout. So it was almost like, hey, we're winning. The Niners are good. We got to panic. And they if they were going to panic, I thought they should have went for the touchdown before halftime. They had all the momentum. The Niners had no hope. And they thought about it. And then finally he said, take the points. And I agreed with them. I thought, you know what? Should take the points. Because then you're going to have a big lead at halftime. So then the next time, I think the Niners scored and he's driving. And they're at their field goal range. They go for it on fourth and they get stopped. The guy dropped it, didn't he? I can't remember the fourth down order. But he was wide open. They dropped it. And I'm like, all right, now your guys are choking. And then they just fell apart. The defender then tipped the ball off like his face mask. And the receiver caught it for the Niners, taking them in. And it was almost like they went in at halftime. And the Lions were just like, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And we're going to keep doing what they're doing. The 49ers went in the locker room and they had like voodoo dolls out there. And they're like praying for like miracles, and then it happened. They're like, hey, we're gonna have the balls jump off the guy's face mask on a clear interception. If the defender didn't even make a play to try to intercept it and he just lets the ball be overthrown, nothing happens. People were saying that there was a flag they picked up and they were like, oh, it was an interference. They weren't gonna call an interference on that. The ball was overthrown and it hit the defender in the head and it popped right up. Insane. So you have that happen, and then you still have a chance, and you go for it again. And I know they were down, and I thought they kicked the field goal and tied up or whatever, but they just didn't. And I get it that the stats or whatever say go for it on fourth down, and you have a better chance of winning. But I'm a guy where you had the lead at that point. you take the points. You're not behind. You're not tied. This isn't a shootout where it's going back and forth where, like, the Ravens were down. They had to go for it on their fourth down, even if it was on their side of the field because it was short. The Lions were going for it on, like, fourth and three. Like, they weren't even close to the down marker. But then they just had guys dropping a pass, making a bad play call where it's, like, too developed, he gets sacked, and then they're back. And they fell apart so bad that, like, I think it has to haunt Detroit fans. Because I heard a lot of them, just because of Michigan connection, I know a couple Lions fans, and they're like, well, this team can learn, and we can go on a three-year run like Michigan did, where they think that the Lions lost this playoff run, that they're going to get, like, 3 years of cracks at the Super Bowl. And I'm like, that's not really how it works in the NFL. And I know they have a young team, but if you look at, like, the pre whatever odds for next year, I think a lot of places have the Packers number one because they're completely young and their guy made a bonehead mistake. They blew a game to the Niners too. They very easily could have been the Packers in the Super Bowl this year. Which I think Jordan Love has to be kicking himself because he did the same thing. Panicked, threw back across the field in the triple coverage that Josh Allen did and Lamar Jackson did. So I don't see how, going back to the Lamar Jackson hate, I don't see how people can be pumped about Jordan Love's future when he made the same dumb mistake that lost the game for the Ravens and that lost the game for the Bills. Same mistake. I mean, the Bills, they got lucky, though, because they kicked the field goal after, and they still lost. Like, that was kind of karma for him making that bad throw instead of checking down to Diggs. Jordan Love, I mean, all he had to do was run or throw it up in single coverage, like I said, and see if your guy can make a play. That's what Brock Purdy did. Threw it up in single coverage, hit the guys in the Lions face mask, and it bounced right to him. He almost scored a touchdown on the play. So anyone that's looking at the other quarterbacks, to your point, the Mahomes stuff, you have to be calm and cool and just be able to check the ball down. If you're able to make completions, they said he was like making so many completions to different receivers that it takes the pressure off your offensive line. It takes the pressure off your defense because you're keeping drives going. And the Lions just couldn't do it. And I feel like their fans have to feel bad. And I feel like, I don't think it's going to be another 50-year drought because that's probably crazy for the Lions to be that bad. With Dan Campbell, it seems like they're gambling enough that they should be in the playoffs a decent amount going forward with this roster, that it's kind of locked up young. And I think the OC was in a lot of jobs. He decided, I want to say he locked in, but I think he's back for the Lions next year. So a lot of their fans are pumped about that, thinking that he wants another run at it. It wasn't really the offense that let him down. Maybe at the end of the game. But they scored the touchdown. If they would have kicked the field goal, it would have went to overtime. Maybe the Niners keep going. They're hot in the overtime. But the defense kind of just fizzled out for the Lions. And that's what happens whenever you're going for it on fourth down, giving the Niners good field position, just not taking the points. Even if he missed a field goal, because people were saying their field goal kicker is not good, they had two chances where they could have kicked the field goal. The Niners field goal guy, he missed one and made two, I think. The Lions guy made one. Even if he missed one of the other two, they're still tied. Unless he would have missed both. I don't know how bad their kicker is. I haven't paid that much attention to Detroit's kicking. But just a shame. So now I feel like the hype going into the Super Bowl is kind of like two teams that probably should have lost are now playing for the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to give a breakdown and I'm not going to get your prediction yet because we have a whole nother week to kind of look at that game. But if you're a Lions fan, Matt, how disappointed would you be?
I think you'd be a little bit disappointed just because the opportunity was there. And it was pissed away. But for a franchise that hasn't had a playoff win in years, let alone opportunity to be in playing for the championship. I think you got to find the positives where you can.
Hey, trust me. I've been there from the Michigan side, and making it to the playoffs and then losing to like Georgia was probably better than having the TCU one where you made so many mistakes that cost you the game. That one haunts you. So it really comes back to, are the Lions able to take the step that Michigan did where everyone's all in? They realize they blew it. They're going to come back, work hard in the offseason. Everyone tries to come back and take another run, and they win the championship the following year. I think that's the best redemption story. Another, like a different sport, but like the Virginia basketball team, remember they lost to like a 16 seed as the number one seed and then came back the next year all angry and won the title. So like you can do it. It just depends, like, are you going to let that loss carry over to next year and then your team just falls off a cliff? Because it really depends on how the locker room handles it. If you were like, well, that's our best chance, and then you slack off all offseason and you don't put in the time, and then next year rolls around and you're a 3-win squad, then you have issues. And I feel like we see that happen more than we see teams do their redemption arc and win the title, right? How many years has Oregon football in college been close and everyone's like, next year's their year, and then the next year they're like a 9-win team and people are like, we don't know what happened? Like, you have to have like the Michigan doing it, or even like Virginia basketball coming back and having that redemption. I think the one year the Tar Heels did it, they lost, I think, the Villanova on like a game-winning shot the first year, and then people came back and they won the title the second year. The NFL, maybe Mahomes. Did Mahomes do it? Did they lose the first Super Bowl and he came back and won it again? I can't remember how his Super Bowls have gone. But you're up against him. So even if the Lions would have made it this year, if they lose to Mahomes, you still got him next year. And so that's why I want to get into the coaching stuff now. You have anything else you want to talk about the games before we get into the coaching carousel?
I mean, I feel like the Lions game in general just kind of had a feel of it started and they started so hot that it was like, oh, they're going to run away with this game. And I almost got the feeling that for as fast as they started, that they burned themselves out. That it was like they were up by so much so fast that it was like, just don't lose it, instead of just continuing to play aggressively. And I think like at the point where you should be taking points, it becomes like, I don't know, like you try to make up for it. Like you played conservatively and squander part of that lead, and then it just becomes, well, now you gotta go for it. And like almost psych yourself out from making the right choice.
But it's the same thing that happened to the Falcons in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They didn't have to. Like, they took Montgomery out of the game. And he was he's their big running back that they should have been pounding with. And it's like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and change things up, put Gibbs in and try to do more of like, we're going to spread him out. And it's like, you have the lead. You should be pounding them. It's almost the opposite, and I brought this up earlier, the Michigan championship game with Harbaugh. And Harbaugh kind of did the same thing Jim did at Michigan this year in the championship game. It was almost the exact opposite, though. So the Lions came out heavy. They're pounding them in the face, taking big shots, getting touchdowns. And then they were like, you know what? We're going to kind of go into more of like our spread stuff, bring in Gibbs, not really run up the middle, try to get like left and right and tire them out. And it didn't work. Where Michigan came out, just because of the way against Washington that it worked out, they had a loss. They're moving the ball decent with like their regular offense in. They go down, it's like second and 14. So they bring in third down back Donovan Edwards in like more a spread package where Michigan's like, all right, they're going to probably pass here. It's a passing situation. But with Donovan Edwards, he's so fast that they ran a delay. He got backed up and then broke it out for a touchdown. Next drive, he's back in there. They're like, we're going to go with this like spread package, see what happens. Scores another touchdown. And then Jim Harbaugh's like, all right, guys, let's go back to our normal offense. We got to make it work. And the normal offense doesn't do anything for the second and third quarter, like I said. So he's coaching himself out of the game. Dan Campbell kind of did that where it's like, I kept thinking, like, put Montgomery in. What are you doing? Why are you trying to spread this out? It's not working. Put Montgomery in, go back and start pounding these guys, because the Chiefs are bad, or not the Chiefs, the Niners. They weren't stopping the run at the beginning of the game. They're running all over them. And then if you want to kind of mix things up, like mix it into your base package, because they have to kind of pound into the middle of the offense, and they weren't doing it. And it's the same thing with like John Harbaugh. I think he psychs himself out and doesn't put Lamar Jackson in the best position to win in the playoffs, where I said they were bad against the run. The Chiefs, 26th or something. Awful. And they don't even try to run. They don't even try it. And they have a running quarterback. Just give him some designed run / handing the ball off instead of having him do 7-step drops like it's 1984 and John Elway's back there. Because some of them, it was like the most ridiculous 7-step drop. And I'm like, Lamar Jackson, who's calling these plays? A couple of Ravens fans I saw joking that if they would have had Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, they probably would have won the game. It's like, did Monk get paid off? Because I don't remember any crappy offensive coordinating like that at Georgia, right? Why didn't he put that game plan in when they played Michigan? He came out with everything, screens, all kind of crazy stuff that I didn't see from Georgia all year. And now it's like a big playoff game, and he's like, you know what? We're not going to do any of that. We're going to go back. I found this tape. It had Warren Moon on. I think we're going to run Warren Moon's offense. That's what it was like. Lamar Jackson dropping back, 7-yard drop. Well, we're going to throw it up.
Well, clearly that's not Warren Moon's, because Warren Moon was a shoot quarterback.
I'm just picking 80s quarterbacks out. Who would be a good one for you? Drew Bledsoe? He's more mobile than Drew Bledsoe.
Oh my God. The cinder block laying on my floor was more mobile than Drew Bledsoe.
But that's what the Lions didn't have. The Lions had a great game plan, and then they got away from it. And I don't know if it was too much of like, well, we're going to overcorrect. But it really reminded me of the Michigan game. And it was almost like Michigan's defense was able to win in spite of the Michigan offense, where the Lions, their defense couldn't get a stop. And so the whole time I thought, like, this is what it would have been if Michigan would have lost to Washington. Because everyone kept saying, like, oh, Washington's coming back. Their offense is too good to only score 10 points or whatever they had. And then they never came back, because their offense couldn't do anything. Where the 49ers, their offense is doing stuff. Moving the ball. McCaffrey's running. Miracle never hurt. He's massaging gunning his own leg on the sideline, Matt. Not like when he was with the Panthers. I saw one of the newspapers down here was like, just think if the Carolina Panthers franchise hadn't ruined McCaffrey's career, the first couple years of his career, how great his stats would be. And the first comment was, you know, what wouldn't have hurt his stats is if he wasn't faking injured all the time. And I was like, I thought the same thing, buddy. It's not the franchise didn't ruin his career and his stats. It's because he was always, oh, I have a hamstring tightness, I can't play. He was always injured. Always injured. So, and you know, it's fake because he gets the same injuries against the 49ers. And guess what? He's right back out there. He was complaining about the same leg tightness that he had at Carolina, which would sideline him for 6 weeks. He had that against the Niners, or against the Packers last week, I think it was. But once Debo went, then they didn't care. They were like, whatever, you know, he's good to go. So that's my concern with like the Niners going in the playoffs. I don't know how Debo's shoulder got healed in 1 week. Was it deer antler spray? Because, I mean, they had a crack or whatever in it, and then he said he didn't have a crack in it. He's fine to go. Suspicious. McCaffrey had a tight leg tightness, didn't show there at all. Now they have 2 weeks to heal, but I hope we get a good game. But that's my coaching thing. I think some of it has to do with coaching, where Andy Reid's so old, I just feel like he doesn't care. Like, his career is settled. People think he's great. He has Mahomes, so he's not going to change up. He's not going to, like, what was that last play? It was like third and short or whatever. They could have easily forced a punt. Instead, he takes a deep shot. Like, who the hell does that? And the Ravens almost broke it up. If that guy wouldn't have lost a step on him, then who knows what would happen at the end of the game, right? The Niners didn't do that. They were just like, I was going to take a couple of knees because they called timeout for no reason. Because, like, you could sneak a run in, and, you know, everyone's on the line of scrimmage, so it would take maybe 7 seconds to snap the ball and run your next play. You don't have to call timeout. You don't have to call timeout. What was the other one? I think the Ravens were calling timeout before the two-minute warning. And the, what did the announcer say? I wonder if they're going to wait to call their timeouts after the two-minute warning. And I thought, why the hell would they do that? Because then you're burning 5-7 extra seconds of play and then wasting your timeouts. You always call them before the two-minute warning. What are you thinking? That's why they need a clock guy. They need me down there to tell them, like, don't do that. That's dumb. Don't call timeout, coach. Just have two plays in there. Run the ball. The running play wasn't dumb because they could have caught him by surprise. It just didn't happen. So have the second play ready to go. Don't call timeout because then you're screwing yourself if you don't get the onside kick. And no one gets the onside kick with the new onside rules. That's why their onside kick play was to have the guy dive and try to catch it right at 10 yards. But it didn't go far enough. And he didn't even catch it anyway. He knocked it all the way down. But now getting into the coaching stuff, I keep bringing up Michigan because Jim Harbaugh, he accepted the job with the Chargers. And I had said that I was 70-30% sure that he was going to come back to Michigan because I didn't think anyone was going to hire him. And you can back me up on that, Matt. I texted you that weeks ago. He's like awful at interviews, right?
And I was happy that the shoe was finally on the other foot. With all the nonsense of A&M and LSU trying to hire Jimbo away, it was nice to be able to just watch you just be in a panic.
But see, I didn't even really care because I feel like at this point, if he goes, he goes. He's been wanting to go for 3 years. And it's honestly, it's hurt Michigan football more than I think the average fan wants to admit. Michigan was recruiting at a top 10 level. Other than his first year when he came in late because of the NFL firing, they were like, is he going to get fired by the Niners? Their organization's kind of a mess. Maybe they won't fire him. And then by the time he was hired, because of everyone saying he's not going to go there, he's not going to go to college, all the NFL guys, Michigan had like a 30-ranked recruiting class. Since he was there, though, it's been consistently top 10. There was like maybe 2-year blip where... there was that one weird year where he like was acting really strange and they had like 9 wins and people were like, is something wrong with him? Like, is he going to retire? And then he kind of got the fire back after the COVID year. But the past 2 years, recruiting has dipped from the top 10 class to like 17, somewhere around there, like in the late teens, not super low, but it's 100% because he's been telling recruits. And this is documented. Recruits have come out and said that when he would recruit them, he would say, hey, I'm trying to get an NFL job. So if you sign, you're signing with Michigan, not with me. And it hurt them recruiting-wise because a lot of big-time recruits that they had been getting in the past, think like five-star Rashawn Gary, Peppers. I said before the playoffs this year, they don't have a guy like that because they haven't been getting them because Harbaugh's been telling them that he's going to the NFL. So if you're a five-star recruit and it's like, hey, I'm going to the NFL, you're going to be like, I'm not going to go there. Who's going to be the coach? Oh, I don't know. Because like they promoted Sharon Moore. And at this point, it kind of seems like Harbaugh kind of guided that. And credit, he did win the national championship. So I'm not going to be negative on that. I did think that Michigan should have had an open coaching search, especially because Brian Kelly said he was interested. And not that I wanted Michigan to get Brian Kelly, but if you look at all-time coaching like winning records, Brian Kelly has one of the highest winning percentages of any coach all time. So to have a coach like that hint that he's interested means that he's already reached out and he's interested. Now, whether Harbaugh was kind of be like, well, I'm going to go pro, but you should hire my guy. I almost feel like the athletic department kind of decided that, hey, we can save a lot of money here if we just promote from within. And I know that he beat Ohio State and beat Penn State as the interim coach. Something that I've never seen mentioned from any Michigan outlet or anything associated with it. He was actually suspended one game last year for being involved with that recruiting stuff, Matt. So for that to be like an internal hire where you just get promoted and people were like, well, it's good. The NCAA is going to be off Michigan's back. Cause I heard like ESPN guys saying that. It's like he was involved with the cheeseburger thing. He was suspended for the first game. So now that he's like the official first black head coach at Michigan, Mike Hart was the actual first black head coach with a win because Sherrone Moore was suspended. Like, I feel like ESPN overlooking that. I don't know how they don't know the basics of that. You'd think someone would look it up. But for me, I don't think that closes the NCAA investigation because he was involved. He took a suspension that wasn't handed down. That was a preemptive suspension. And so what's going to happen there now? And you had a chance, like I said, maybe not to clean house, but Harbaugh took Minter with him to the NFL. He took the strength and conditioning coach, which I thought was weird, Herbert, to the NFL, because in the NFL, you really don't have a team strength and conditioning coach. Players come in and out all the time. A lot of them have their own workout stuff. So to bring a strength and conditioning coach with you is kind of unprecedented. I think a lot of this Harbaugh to the NFL was unprecedented too, because it's like the first time a national championship coach jumped immediately to the NFL and took the strength and conditioning coach with him. Like, that kind of never happens. And there are rumors that he wanted to stay at Michigan and the athletic department didn't want to pay him. I don't know how much of that is true. That's why I brought up the cost cutting thing earlier, but we'll see how it goes. You win the national championship. They haven't had roster turnover. I think if you bring in a guy like Brian Kelly, and I'm not saying I was advocating for him because I didn't really want him to be the coach anyway, but I think if he comes in, what you see is a kind of like what happened at Washington, where DeBoer left and a lot of the top players kind of went with him to Alabama. I think if Michigan was able to bring another established head coach in, a lot of the players would have came in, and I don't think you would have seen a lot of the starters transfer anyway, just because they know that they have a good nucleus. But when Harbaugh took the strength and conditioning coach after Moore was already named head coach, a lot of the players tweeted about it as kind of being like a stab in the back. And so to me, that seems like it was weird. Like, Harbaugh kind of, they made it seem through like the Michigan press and stuff that Harbaugh kind of worked it out with the players. He'd been telling them that he's going. He went and gave a team speech that was like, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm just saying goodbye for now, or something like corny. You know how he would say something weird. So it's like, at the end of it, people are looking back as like, this is the golden age of Michigan football. And I thought it could have been so much better. And I think a lot of people expected the national championship to happen within the first 4 or 5 years, not year 9, and then he leaves. So I think people will look back and say, like, this is a great Michigan era. But honestly, I think what it did prove is that Michigan can still compete, and they should be competing with NIL. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're waiting, maybe with good feelings on it, because Florida's under investigation, Tennessee's under investigation, but Michigan's coach was already under investigation anyway. So what's the difference if you have guys paying into NIL, right? What's one more investigation? So it wasn't like they were doing everything clean and then being like, oh, you know what? We're not going to do the NIL stuff because that costs money. That's what it seems like. We'll buy you a cheeseburger, but we're not going to pay you. And so that's where if Moore can get the recruiting classes back to the top 10, because like if we're being honest, Clemson got back up they basically came up from where Michigan ended up, like in the low teens or whatever, won a couple of national championships, and they got into the top 10, and they've had trouble staying there with the NIL stuff. If Michigan could get just back up to normal, like ahead of like Clemson, then you could see them going on another run. It just depends on my concern. Offense didn't win Michigan that national championship. So you promote the offensive coordinator and you let the defensive coordinator go to the NFL. I think that's kind of where I'm giving pause, because I talked about it earlier in the show. The offense almost lost him the national championship. If Washington had started to score, the offense had already turtled up after those Donovan Edwards runs. So that's where I would like to see what offense is actually going to show up. Was that a Harbaugh thing? Because his brother does the same thing in the playoffs. They both kind of get nervous or whatever, you would think. Conservative, one might say. But both Harbaugh brothers, that's why they don't have success. And that's why I had said earlier in the show that I didn't think any team was going to hire him, because I talked about this a couple years ago when the Vikings turned him down. What coach is in the NFL is going to come in and say, hey, what's your record against teams that are just as talented as you? Because you're recruiting in the top 10. So I think I sent you the stats. Let me see if I can bring them up, what his final record is. Because the NFL interview process, they have to bring this stuff up. So he comes in and against Ohio State, still ends up with a losing record, 3-5. If I was an NFL coach, that's the first thing I would ask him. And I think that's kind of where Harbaugh, a lot of his statements at the end of the year was like, the job's done, we won the title. Now he can come into these NFL interviews and say, like, look, I won the national championship. I won. It's like basically winning the Super Bowl. Please hire me. But they could still be like, you still have a losing record against Ohio State. He ended up being 5-4 against Michigan State. 6-3 against Penn State. He didn't coach that last one, so he's really 5-3. And against Ohio State, he was really 2-5 because of the suspension. Now, I know they count them because he coached during the week. 3-0 in conference championship games, but that's not the same talent. If I'm an NFL guy, I'm kind of overlooking that, because in every championship game for the Big Ten, Michigan had a gigantic talent advantage. And then in the playoffs, 2-2, both wins coming this year against Bama and Washington. They had lost to Georgia and TCU. And the TCU loss was Michigan had a better talent than what TCU had. So they shouldn't have lost that game. And so you have those records going in. And then in the bowl game, they ended up being what? They were 1-4 in regular bowl games outside of the playoffs. So it looks like, I'm going to see here because it looks like the internet cut out. All right, you there? I think my internet cut out. I'm on the regular bowl game. So he was 1-4 outside of the playoffs. And if I'm an owner, that's where I'm concerned, because if you look at what his brother's doing in the NFL playoffs, it's nothing. So he's basically has the same record as what Jim has in the bowl games for Michigan when teams have similar talent level. I don't see, if I'm an NFL owner, if I'm the Chargers and I say, how are you going to beat Mahomes? I beat Ohio State 3 years in a row. It's like, yeah, but you have a losing record against them. So, and what's your bowl record like for the playoffs? Oh, I have a losing record there too. All right. I mean, in the NFL, he was 5-3 in the playoffs as the 49ers coach. I think everyone expected them to come in and him to have that similar postseason record at Michigan, and he hasn't had it. And to me, it's a philosophy thing. So I'm kind of surprised that the Chargers hired him. I was confident after they didn't hire him the first week that they weren't going to hire him, because I thought, what changed? They already knew he won the national championship. Maybe it was getting him. Maybe he had to talk them into taking the defensive coordinator with them. Like, look, if I bring my defensive guy and the strength guy, something came up in those other interviews where he kind of pitched him, because it seemed like he's been wanting to go to the NFL for a while. He hasn't been recruiting well. He's been getting guys to stay with NIL. So luckily Michigan had that going for him, where they were able to get everyone coming back for one last run and winning the national championship. But it's the same thing that's happened with Bill Belichick. Belichick kind of put it off as like, I'm looking for I need a better situation, is what he said. But it almost seemed like they didn't give him the job. Because a lot of the NFL guys were like kind of shocked that Falcons made him come back for that second interview. They interviewed like a bunch of different guys in that second round. They were even supposed to talk to Harbaugh. Guess what? They didn't. Like, Harbaugh didn't wow them either. Belichick didn't wow them. So when you have a guy and you're looking at with Belichick, same thing I talked about with Harbaugh. Hey, come in here. How come things aren't going well since Brady left? He has no answer. He had multiple quarterbacks in that time. They've done nothing. Hey, Harbaugh, you guys are winning the games where you have a talent advantage, but in the NFL, you're not going to have that anymore. What happened? With the 49ers, you were able to get it done. You haven't been able to get it done at Michigan. He finally got over the hump this year with the national championship, and I really think that's the only reason why the Chargers offered him the job. If Michigan would have lost to Washington, I think Harbaugh would have been back at Michigan next year. I do not think he would have got an NFL offer. NFL was not beating down his door. He didn't get a lot of interviews. There were a lot of jobs out there that were open, like Washington. I said maybe that would be a good fit for him because of his brother. I don't even think they reached out, Matt. There are a ton of jobs each year that didn't reach out to him. Like last year, it was the Jets the 1 year, right? They just picked Soleo from, I think he might have interviewed, I can't remember. Because he's been interviewed with the NFL for a while. The Vikings was closest. They said that was the weirdest interview they ever had. He assumed he had the job. So I think that one might have been first. And then there was another one in there where he talked to a team. I can't remember which team it was now. What was the last year job opening? Oh, the Broncos. Where the Broncos wanted, they were interested in him. But again, once he interviewed or whatever, they didn't offer him. And they ended up with Sean Payton.
I would almost say that Harbaugh is probably in a similar boat to the way Belichick's looking at teams now, where like, what you're not gonna, you don't just want to jump into any position at this stage of your career. So it's like to go into it, it has to be the absolute best scenario because you have more than enough money to provide for your family for the rest of their lives. You've accomplished and you've won a lot of big games. You know, especially now with Harbaugh coming off his national championship win, like he's won at a high level in college football. That to put that scenario back of where do you want to live, where do you want to finish your career out, and do you have the people and personnel in place? I feel like you to take over those scenarios, you have to really be comfortable with the entire organization. And if you have a franchise that's holding on to certain components that handcuff you, well, there's a reason why many teams in the NFL shift coaches every 3-4 years.
Well, that's why I think it was a dumb move to take the Chargers job. The best job for him would have been the Vikings. I think he knew it. I think everybody knew it. That probably would have been a win. And I know Kirk Cousins got hurt. Maybe that still happens and they kind of bounce around or whatever. But I think with him and his offensive philosophy and how, like, look how the Lions have won in that division, basically turning with into a Jim Harbaugh style team. The Jets were another one. This was before they had Aaron Rodgers. This would have been back. I don't know how long has Saleh been there. But they wanted kind of a defensive type thing, which even though he's an offensive coach, you know defense is his thing, which makes no sense. But the Denver one would have been the only one where maybe he pulled back. But they were offering like a 10-year deal to kind of build his idea of a franchise. And I guess Sean Payton probably had a better... Because some of the stuff Harbaugh says is like, I'm taking it one day at a time. And I could see like they're like, look, we want to invest for 10 years. And he's like, I might not even have tomorrow. You know, he said that like multiple times at Michigan. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? You're recruiting kids. How are you going to recruit them if that's how you're talking? And then with the Chargers, they're only giving him a 5-year deal. their team is already over the salary cap, and a lot of their players are old. That's not a good scenario. And like I outlined last week, you're playing Mahomes twice. And then you got the Raiders and the Denver that just invested in a coach and they're trying to turn things around. It's not a given. I don't even know what I would pick on them to win next year. Anywhere but between honestly, maybe...
But that plays right into Harbaugh. He wants to play a physical style game. And he did it with the Niners. And I feel like if you want to consider yourself a Super Bowl caliber team, what better opportunity than to play the Chiefs twice, have Connor Stallions film for you, and then you'll have all their signals and play card plays charted, and then you just take them down in the playoffs when it matters.
See, but that's the thing. They don't use play signals down here. They all have headsets. So he already lost a secret weapon.
Well, then he'll just dial into the right frequency.
Because what did they have this year? They had 5 wins. I feel like that's kind of what his floor is. But I feel like his ceiling's got to be 12, 10 wins, 11. If he won 15 games next year, I'd be completely shocked. Because he still has the close games where it's like the Michigan State games. Every year, it's like, what are you doing? That has to be locker room stuff. Like, how are you not blowing them out? You have a talent advantage. I know Michigan State's playing up to you, but it's like they had the trouble with the snap game. There were the Hutchinson fumble overturn game. Then JJ fumbled. It's like, why is JJ in? Why is he even fumbling? What are you doing? You have the lead. You're letting them back in the game with some of his decisions. And that's why people were saying, like, if Harbaugh was coaching the Lions, they would have won the Super Bowl this year. He would have made the same dumb decisions because I've seen it with Michigan every year. It just happened that when they were doing the dumb things with the Bama game, Michigan was just better than Bama. So like instead of just having, you know, instead of switching punt returners when they're both nervous as hell, and instead of taking one of their seniors and saying, hey, go ahead out there, Mikey, you just catch the punt, fair catch it, dude. I know you're not going to drop it. You're not going to get hurt either, fair catching the ball. Like that's why they were worried, because I feel like when Ronnie Bell got hurt last year, was it last year, 2 years ago now, when he blew his knee out, now he's with the 49ers in the Super Bowl, returning a punt, they kind of went away to their like, we're just going to use a punt return specialist that fair catches it. But when the dudes aren't catching the ball, you have issues. And that one guy returned it, Samaj Morgan, I love him. He returned the one in the Big Ten championship game that I think kind of gave them false hope. So when he fumbled the first one against Bama, I figured, not a big deal. But then the second one, when it was over his head at the 10-yard line, like that's 100% coaching. And that kid was nervous and he hates himself for it. I feel bad for the guy. But it's like, what are you doing? Just play defense. The Niners did it in their game. They just sent the defense out and didn't have anyone back to return the punt. That's all Michigan had to do, and that's a Jim Harbaugh thing. So I've seen a lot of his dumb decisions. I've seen his offense do nothing. Remember that Army game that didn't go to overtime? Like, they were like, you know what, we're going to run the same type of thing. And so I have a hard time believing. And I know he's been great at Michigan, and I've told you, there's no fear of Michigan losing to a team that's under-talented. The Michigan has a talent advantage. Unless it's Michigan State, for whatever reason, he shits the bed against them, he's going to beat them. Penn State, I mean, they had an advantage on them because I think Franklin shit the bed more often than he did. But like the Ohio State ones, it was like they weren't even prepared a couple years against Urban. He was running them up. And then when Ryan Day took over, that was the best thing for Harbaugh because that saved his career. Ryan Day saved Harbaugh's career. Zach Smith, basically. If Zach Smith doesn't have that scandal that gets Urban Meyer fired, Harbaugh might have been fired. I don't even know if he ever beats Urban Meyer because it seemed like he was never really prepared for that game. And even when he was, like, he had John O'Korn as the quarterback throwing an interception late. Just like his brother having Lamar Jackson throw an interception late. It's almost like a Harbaugh thing. They both won one championship. His dad won one championship. I feel like that's it. I feel like his championship, like he joked about sitting at the big boy table. I feel like he should have stayed in college because he's not winning a Super Bowl. He picked a bad team. His best situation would have been the Vikings. Even the Jets, like, it wouldn't have worked out because you're in the AFC. It would have been so much easier for him to just win in the NFC again. Look at the Niners doing exactly what he's done. I mean, they kind of just went back to his blueprint after he left, and they tried to hire from within, and they're like, we're going to go back to heavy physical. That's what works, and it's worked for him. He's just not the head coach. And Kyle Shanahan's been the guy choking. It's like almost insane. Could you, if the Niners lose again, they've brought in a guy to recreate what Jim Harbaugh had, and he is losing just as much on the big stage as what Jim was doing. Losing in the championship game, losing in the Super Bowl. It's funny how it's almost parallel. So if the Niners win the Super Bowl this year, the same year Jim Harbaugh won the Super Bowl, maybe the owner and Harbaugh went together secretly and like cast the demons out. They went to like some voodoo place, you know, maybe that's why that guy caught that helmet catch. I don't know. But if I'm the Chargers fans, I understand that you're excited. I would be excited if Harbaugh came back this year. I just don't know what to expect from Michigan. I don't know what to expect from the Chargers because some of the internal stuff was saying that like a lot of it was Sherrone Moore and the younger coaches bringing in that locker room presence, and kind of Jim just took the CEO approach where he was kind of away from it. And so maybe Michigan doesn't really fall off, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was great that they didn't open up the position, but I don't know if he can recreate that type of locker room in the NFL. It seems like some of the players are like, yes, we want to work hard. We're tired of losing. We want to win. So maybe that they will buy in. We'll find out if the offseason workouts roll around and how they even get their roster put together when they're over the cap, $40 million or whatever it was. They only signed him for 5 years. That's my concern if I were him. Why? Are you like, why take such a shorter deal? Knowing that you're going to be under talented for like the next 2 or 3 years.
Do you really think they're going to be that under talented though?
Matt, they had a lot of holes this year. I watched with Eckler. They couldn't even do anything on the line. And Herbert kept getting hit. He got hurt. The defense really couldn't do anything either. Like, it was almost weird the way it kind of worked out. They played some teams close. What did they? Did they even beat the Chiefs? No. They almost beat them. They lost by one. But that was like the sitting game. The other game was a double-digit loss. They beat the Vikings, the Raiders, the Bears, the Jets, and New England. That's not a murderer's row of teams that they beat. They're beating teams that basically stunk this year. Every other team that was good, they lost to. Maybe it's coaching. But again, if you're over the cap, how are you going to compose the roster together? Like, I have a feeling Eckler has to be gone, I would think, right? Who do you get that's going to be cheaper and help your team get under the cap? We'll see. We'll probably talk about it. Maybe I'll have a better feeling if they're able to somehow get younger. But they have a lot of guys looking through the roster that Keenan Allen, Eckler hasn't really been hurt, but he's old and he hasn't performed. So Keenan Allen always hurt. Herbert's been getting hurt. And some of the other receivers, like, didn't they, for one point of the year, they had, like, no receivers playing because they were all hurt? If you have a bunch of old guys...
If they're all healthy because they have good strength and conditioning guy...
Maybe that's how he pitched them. But I'm saying if you have a whole team of old guys that constantly get hurt, how are you going to go from there? But that's my NFL head coaching and Michigan changes. I know you want to talk about the Steelers... have a hypothetical offensive coordinator potentially coming in. I know you're a secret Falcons fan.
Well, I mean, let's preemptively start this off by looking at the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl that they kind of have this common thread of unique offenses with different perspectives, multiple formations, shifts, motions, things to generate explosive plays and get their athletes in space, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
So Pittsburgh basically was like, well, what did we do in 1991? All the stuff that we did from Haley and like every coordinator that has since come through and co-coordinator up through Canada. They're like, let's find someone that fits that exact same cookie cutter mode because, well, screw it. We haven't had a losing record with it. The standard of mediocre continues.
So that's where I made fun of Lamar's 7-step drops. Maybe they were watching those Ravens games. Right?
It's plausible.
Because I didn't even know too much of him because I was like, Arthur Smith, don't really care. I did find it funny that he coached as a head coach for 3 years and he had the same record every year, almost like a Bo Pelini, 7-10 though. So yikes. I don't understand how you can pull that off. And he had talent on the offensive side because he didn't use them.
Well, and
that's why I made fun of you for drafting Bijan Robinson back whenever you were like, I'm getting him. And I was like, all right, I'm getting guys like Eckler. And I think you paid more than I paid for Breece Hall. And I was like, Breece Hall actually already had a season where he looked good. He just got hurt. And if he comes back and looks good, you don't know what the hell the Falcons are going to do on offense. And they didn't do anything, Matt. They didn't do anything.
But see, the funny thing was, in the games that they decided to play Robinson, he did have great fantasy numbers. But it's like...
When they decided to play him, though, that's what I'm saying. That's all coaching. Well,
but that, like, that's the thing that scares me with bringing him in. Is that like if he was the one that responsible for aligning the depth chart and he had a guy that was generating, like he had catches, he had long runs, like he did everything that you would want out of a backfield. And I feel like he had dynamic playmakers in Atlanta with Kyle Pitts and like they had weapons everywhere offensively. I mean, the issue in Atlanta has been that the defense, like every since they were close to making the Super Bowl, they've allowed every decent defensive player to leave in free agency and they sign a top wide receiver.
I don't even know what philosophy going forward do you think the Steelers are going to have, though? Are they going to be more of a...
It's going to be Matt Canada's offense.
Yeah, so they're not going to have, like, even a West Coast presence. They're just going to be running, like, what?
Pfister's offense. Matt Canada's offense. Todd Haley's offense.
Maybe Mike Tomlin runs the offense.
I mean, I'm sure he has his stuff that he wants, but, I mean, a lot of it, it's very, like, it's very power run. It's very play action fake. It's very vertical passing. And that's why last week when we talked about it, I was very much in the party of wanting to bring Cliff Kingsbury in because he's going to bring a different philosophy to Pittsburgh. And I think it's what they needed.
And that's where, I mean, we talked about it and maybe I'll be honest. I brought that up last week. I want to say that I read an article that he was being considered. Did that ever happen? Or maybe I subconsciously knew that you wanted him to be the coach because he had mentioned it to me before. But I looked after and I had a tab open where it had Kingsbury come into the Steelers when I brought that up last week. And then I thought, is he going to be there? And then, no.
Well, I saw it. I did see that they interviewed him. But then it was like real quick afterwards, like, no, it's like, don't you go bringing in something new and modern.
Now, I know how that interview went. They were like, now, we know what Pittsburgh girls like. They like guys that look like Ben Roethlisberger. They don't need you here. Get out of here, pretty boy. This is a blue-collar town. What are you dressed like that for? It's like when Mahomes walked in with his custom-made suit that they talked about. It was like 5 inches above his shoes. And I'm like, it's like a high school suit he's wearing? Do they make the suit super short? Because I have long legs, so it's hard for me to find pants. Is it acceptable for me just to have pants super short on me? Is that the way to go, Matt? Because I see Mahomes doing that, and I could see like Kingsbury coming in and something like that, and Pittsburgh just being like, no, get out of here. Get out of here. We don't even want to hear your offense. But they could have had, I don't even know. I feel like they need to do something where with Michigan and the Ravens, they had an idea for a defense. And I know John Harbaugh and Jim are brothers. So he sent his brother some defensive guys saying like, hey, we're working on something. We want to know if like we can try it in college where the offenses are a little bit more spread heavy. So they sent McDonald down. He's a defensive coordinator. I think he was co-defensive coordinator. I don't even know if he was the real coordinator that first year. They implement what's now being called like the Ravens defense. And it's awesome. The Ravens hire him back. They send down like Jesse Minter, or he comes across from Vanderbilt or something. He was already down there. And now he's going to be going back to the NFL. I feel like the Steelers should do that with either Pitt or Penn State. Probably, Pitt, ACC, they're kind of under-talented in the ACC anyway. Where they should say, Pitt, quit running your weird pro offense, Narduzzi. How about we try to come in with some new offensive stuff? You guys can try it out at Pitt, and when you guys are lighting up the record books, then we'll bring that guy into the Steelers. I feel like a lot of these NFL teams should kind of do that, but they don't. And then you're kind of stuck with, well, we're just going to keep cycling coaches through. Like, I said it. They should have just brought in Bieniemy, right? He's not being hired anywhere after his Washington stint. Right? Unless they hire him as head coach, that would be kind of crazy. Things did kind of look well, but he was known for being a crazy offense at the Chiefs. It doesn't really look like there was a lot of fall off from him leaving, though. Maybe that's why he never got the jobs. I don't know.
Well, part of it was also that his offenses were under Reed, and now that you're seeing that Reed's still in Kansas City with Mahomes and still generating the points that he is, it's like, well, it clearly had more to do with Reed overriding calls and doing things than,
or even Reed, maybe with just Mahomes, right? Seems like he knows what he's doing. It's the same with, wasn't he a quarterback with Kingsbury too? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know when his Texas Tech time overlapped.
Yeah.
But that was another thing, too. It's like they didn't win anything there. That's why I thought it was hilarious that the Cardinals brought him in. But at least they tried to do something new. I don't know if the Steelers are going to be able to even do that. But
this sounds really hypocritical. Because on one hand, with the NFL, I feel like I believe in that Parcells-style system of running the ball, playing good defense, and fundamentally doing that. I thought Pittsburgh was moving in that right direction when they drafted Najee. It seemed like they were addressing the line. But the thing is, the downside of that type of philosophy is if you're not a big physical team and you can't get yourself into those third manageables, it's a really crappy philosophy. Because then you're just relying on these deeper jump balls that everyone knows is coming. And I don't think that – I think Pickens has the potential at times to do it. But the answer to it is you play a corner underneath and a safety over the top, and you're going to take away his explosive plays. And now you have lesser quality athletes – that you're going to have to rely on for those second and third reads to run vertical routes that they can't get deep, can't get separation, and you're stuck.
Well, I'm reaching the tired point of the show, so I don't know if you said this, but didn't they say that they were going to talk about bringing an offensive coordinator in that could improve the looks that Pickens were getting? And I wonder what he said, like, look at what I did at Atlanta. Like, what did he show him? Like, I swear, it might have been in the Kingsbury article, but I thought that they had said explicitly that they want to know, like, as part of the interview process, how are they going to get George Pickens the ball? And I just wonder what he said.
I'm just going to tell him, just run whatever route you want to run and go deep. We'll throw it to you.
I'd be like, guys, have you seen him? He's big. He can just run straight down the field.
And Tomlin was like, that's a great idea.
maybe it's like the Always Sunny when Charlie had out the picture of Bruce Jenner as his interview. He holds up a picture of Julio Jones. And Tomlin's like, I like that. I like that right there. And he's like, I got it. He's like, you got the job. Great. Come on in. He's like, oh, that was so much harder than I thought it was going to be, or so much easier than I thought it was going to be. Great. I'll get started right away. He's like, you like that picture of Julio Jones? I don't even know. Was he Julio Jones even there and good when he was coaching? Make it all the funnier if he wasn't even there. He didn't even play for him. He's like, I coached for the Falcons. You don't know when he was there, do you? Perfect. This is what I'm embodying for your guy. Or just a picture of like Jerry Rice. He's like, this is what I got. The goat. But, all right. Now, anything else you want to talk about?
No.
I don't either. I will say, I probably came across some people who think that I'm like bitter that Harbaugh's leaving. I wish him the best. I like Harbaugh. I don't think the Niners should have fired him. I'm glad that he came to Michigan. I'm glad he won us a national championship. I just think that he made the wrong decision going to the Chargers. And so I'm kind of just baffled. And I know their fans are hyped for him. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. That's part of being a successful coach. Taking a job and trying to prove people wrong. But we see it every year where it's like, that guy's going to be a great fit. And I think even 2 years ago, if he would have jumped to them. But now it's just like, you missed the window. I think they missed their window in... Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the Rams were able to get it done bringing in old Stafford, remember? So Harbaugh said he's been, what did he say? I forget what he even said, something weird. He's been impressed, or he was kind of shy or shell-shocked around Herbert and the guys. <It's> like, but maybe we'll get a twist where he drafts JJ late in the first round and he stashes him for 2 years. While he builds the locker room, and then he wins the Super Bowl in year five and he gets a 10-year extension. I've seen stranger things, but I just think it's weird that like you kind of sabotage Michigan on the way out. Like not even on the way out, like the past 2 years, it's been like, well, we're only set up for like one or two more runs. And then I'm just taking whatever job I can get. And he's like, why don't people appreciate me? So I don't know. Chargers, people are like, you going to cheer for the Chargers now? It's like, no, why would I? Did you cheer for A&M when Jimbo Fisher left, Matt? No, why would you? That'd be weird. Just because it's in the pros now, I'll cheer for some of the other guys. If JJ gets drafted there, I'll probably pull for him a little bit, but that's it. I wanted to clear that up because people would be like, this guy sounds like he's sad and mad.
Oh yeah, next week you'll be wearing your Chargers hat.
Well, I saw some people were getting Chargers gear randomly shipped to them, and I thought that's something the weird that would happen to me.
I just want to see just like really slowly, like next week you'll just have like a pair of Chargers sunglasses on, like the next week, like a hat.
I just get my own Harbaugh Chargers jersey, like a throwback.
Well, what do you mean? I've always liked the Chargers.
What, I always liked Jim Harbaugh. What are you talking about? He's my number one guy. I do think the college is going to miss him because he kind of took over for Mike Leach. Rest in peace. And now who's the weird coach in college football? You don't even know. Right? Ryan Day.
Mario Crystal Ball.
Ryan Day, just for men, putting it in his hair, calling out Lou Holtz. Where's Lou Holtz? Blowing a whistle, hopping around with the guys in the huddle. That's still one of the craziest clips I've ever seen. So I'm going to end the show on that. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.